As we come to the end of the year, the liturgical year, we see that we have begun to use masses that superfuerunt, as is said, in the Missal, the Feast of the Epiphany. And so, in a sense, we're back to the Feast of the Epiphany in a way. But we're not. Those are extra Sundays that the Church very wisely puts aside. It's like having a savings account of masses, and we use them at the end of the year as we need them. But on this one, it's the fifth Sunday that was over and above the Feast of the Epiphany. And we see in the Epistle of St. Paul, always he's giving us good advice. Put you on the holy and beloved. So he's calling us holy and beloved. Now, obviously, most of us are neither holy, we're beloved, but we're not holy. So we need to be holy so that we can make an honest man out of St. Paul and out of me that chanted it. Unfortunately, my voice is not yet back. I thought it might be, but too much preaching, too many masses. So holy and beloved. The bowels of mercy, which is the English and Elizabethan, put on in your hearts mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, the virtues that we should have. And oftentimes we think of the Ten Commandments, or sometimes the precepts, though most people don't think about the precepts enough, but they don't think about the virtues. So many virtues that we have that are there for us to use, given to us at the time of baptism. They're also like in a savings account, and we take them out as we need them. Most people don't. This is why St. Paul says, put on in your hearts. You know, I don't think we put them in our stomach, so I mean that bowels thing is totally outdated, 500 years, you know. Once things get to be normal, we'll have a decent translation again. But this isn't it. Anyway, put on in your heart these virtues. These virtues that form part of the virtue of charity especially. And, of course, we have the virtue of faith, the virtue of hope. Those are theological virtues. The charity is the virtue that remains after our death. And it's the virtue that we need to use the most in this world. Not so much with God, though sometimes, but with each other. Let's face it, when dealing with each other, we definitely need to put on benignity, humility, modesty, and patience. The Lord God knows that that is true. Forgiving one another. That's very hard to do. And it continues. If anyone has a complaint against another, just like God has forgiven you, you need to forgive them. And of course, our Lord tells us, when he teaches us the Oratio Dominicalis, the Lord's Prayer, unless you forgive your neighbor as I forgive you, I will not forgive you. You need to forgive in order to be forgiven. And so that is extremely important. And then, of course, so all these things are encompassed in the great and wonderful virtue of charity. And, of course, we have the bond of perfection. Uh-oh. Yeah, I can't compete with that. Not now. A good slap in the behind will do him good. Yes, yes. You know, even traditional priests have to have a sense of humor. Let's not, you know, go around with upside down smiles all the time. Bunch of idiots. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of Christ be within you. Be active in you. Let it make your hearts rejoice. You know, no matter what happens, no matter what we have to endure from others and from each other in particular, we should be happy, no matter what. It's one of those things that I always remember that others have told me. They don't always follow it. I won't say who. It will be all right. Be at peace. Be happy. And indeed, we need to. Not because they said so, but because we have the love of Christ in our hearts. Or do we? And that's something you need to do something about. Especially confession and worthy reception of the Holy Eucharist, of Holy Communion. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. And of course it dwells in us abundantly even more so, as he says here, be ye thankful. Eucharistoi. The act, the great act of thanksgiving, effectuated by Christ on the cross and at the Last Supper. And now, no matter what we have to endure, we give thanks to God. And that thanks should also be shared with one another. Now we have in this country, in Europe, in Spain and Germany particularly, we have 3 weeks of Thanksgiving. That's because we love food. But anyway, even the altars are decorated. Instead of flowers, the corn and the different cabbages and all the different fruits are brought in and they're made into magnificent adornments for the altar as a gift of thanksgiving to Christ. And then they're given to the poor. Unless the priest eats it first. But anyway, you never know. But in this country, we have one day when everything is remembered except that which is important, to give thanks to God. We need to give thanks to each other too, but it is about God. And we will be celebrating this soon in the secular calendar, but also here in the morning of that Thursday. Now, in the meantime, we have something that we don't have the time to go into in detail, but it's very much the way it is. Our Lord speaks of the kingdom. It is like a garden. It is like a field, a harvest. And as a good farmer, a good husbandman, like St. Isidore, the husbandman, patron of Madrid in Spain, my dear friend, he sows good seed. And then he goes to pray. And in fact, some of the seed is sown by his guardian angel, which was seen by him and others. I bet you didn't know that. And then the next day, or the next week, all of a sudden, all these weeds come up. And so it is. And of course, this garden is the church. And the church is comprised of the members of the church. The head in heaven and on earth, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, surrounded by his mother and Saint Joseph, and the angels and the apostles and saints, whose month we celebrate this month. And we ourselves, in a sense. And so we are surrounded by those whom we love or ought to love in the virtue of charity, which goes up and goes sideways. So that is the church. But oftentimes we find that in this garden, which is the church, there are all kinds of weeds. I'll tell you one thing. Today, nowadays, I look out at the field and I see nothing but weeds. I wonder, where is the wheat? Where is the barley? Where are the pumpkins? They're gone. At least they're hiding. What are you? Are you a pumpkin? Are you a grape? Or are you a weed? Are you cizania? Or are you one of the good seeds that has grown? And of course, all of us, especially those of us, and we who are traditional, get a little bit uppity sometimes. Oh, let's get rid of them. Off with their head. We think we are in some kind of fairy tale. And that's not the way it works. Our Lord says, no. Wait till the angels, the harvester, come. At the end of lives, at the end of time. Then we will take care of them. So what are you going to do? What are you going to be? When the angels come to see who you are and what are they supposed to do with you, are they going to escort you to the great barn of heaven? Or are you going to be cast out into the fire? Once again, our Lord speaks about hell. For those people who don't want to believe in hell, they need to go and talk to Jesus because he talks about it all the time. And of course, they say to me, oh, that's nonsense. I say, well, fine. Go ahead and keep thinking that. You will find out when you get there, like Padre Pio said, let us not play games with God. Let us not play games with the church, with each other. These things are very serious. And of course, we meditate on these things towards the end of the liturgical year, even though this is the fifth Sunday that was left over after the Epiphany. Who says leftovers aren't good? I love leftovers. Usually they're better the second time. But here we're talking about hell. But what are you? Are you the wheat? Or are you the cockle? Are you the weeds that are going to be burned? Once the angels come to get us, there will be no second chance. This is your time. This is the time of redemption. This is the time of salvation. Don't think that all this that the church teaches, that we read from the scriptures and the liturgy, is a bunch of nonsense. It is the truth. You believe it or not. You are responsible for your fate, not just in this world, but in eternity. I want to be in heaven forever. I look forward to it more every day. I was telling the boys in the sacristy, if God wanted to call me right now, I would be so happy. You won't be, because there's nobody to take my place. Believe you me. That's why I have to stay alive, for your sake. I have to suffer for your sake, because it is. But I would be so happy. During the rosary, I was in union with the Blessed Mother as she was assumed into heaven, as she was crowned Queen of the Universe. Oh, my Lord, oh, my Mother, how I wait and long to be with Thee. And I hope I will be. But we need to aim for this. We need to live for this. We need to suffer for this. And we need to avoid with all our heart, with all our might, the other, which is the eternal fires of hell, where we will be bound into bundles to burn. I hope none of you will be bound to be burnt in the fires of hell. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.